Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey and Deb Evans Consulting. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
A wise man once said, "You didn't know what you were looking for till you heard the voices in your ear." Or until Alexa, Siri, and Google heard the voices. Hello, geeks. It's Social Geek Radio, episode 24 of season 9. And today we're talking voice and video with co-host Jim Buckley, Director of Digital Product Strategy at Valpak. Hey, Jim.
Good afternoon, or good morning, I should say, Jack. How are you doing today?
Good evening, good whatever. Anytime somebody wants to download and listen, we're all about it. I am well, sir. Speaking of which, for those of you who enjoy these conversations, I have a big favor to ask. We're really trying to help grow this podcast, and we need your help to jump over to iTunes and give us a review. Maybe tell a friend about us as well, and we'll have the link straight over to iTunes for the review section on the website and maybe on the Facebook page as well. So please check that out. Today we're going to talk a little bit about voice and a little bit about video. Jim, I think for the last several years we keep using the term search and social, and you know, something that sort of popped into my mind as you were talking about this last week is that search and social is really getting replaced with voice and video. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, what's been fascinating for me, and as you and I have talked about a number of times, obviously, we're both fans of one Mr. Gary Vaynerchuk. And one of the fascinating parts about this is that Gary's been consistently right over the course of really, he would cringe if he heard me say this, but really over the last decade, that he has found kind of particular niches in the tech business where he's able to say, look, this is where kind of the next pivot's going to come from. So I think what's been fascinating for me to watch over the course, in particular the last 12 to 18 months, is this kind of overall transition of voice becoming more and more common. And of course, we're hearing now, I think where we saw the tipping point was where we begin to hear these crazy stories. Like, for instance, it was a week, 10 days ago, there was a couple having a conversation about flooring. Their Alexa turned on, it proceeded to record the entire conversation and then sent it to some random person in their contact list, right? So crazy scene, right? But at the same time, for those of us like you and I who look at these kinds of technologies a little bit differently, right? Which is where we're much more willing, I think, to look at them less with a jaundiced eye and more of what's the opportunity here. I think we're rapidly approaching a point where the physical technology itself, the computing power that is available to someone in this space, now gives us the ability to say, okay, now I can actually use somebody's voice. And there was one prediction that Gary made in one of his videos. And if you don't, this is a naked plug for Gary Vaynerchuk, but if you don't follow Gary, Gary does Daily V, and I would encourage you to watch his video blog, or his vlog, as they've come to be called. Because one of the things that Gary talks about is the fact that a decade from now, we probably won't type. That I find fascinating because obviously I learned how to, you know, I'm nearly ancient. So I learned how to type on a manual typewriter, thinking all those years ago, well, I'll never actually use this skill unless I teach college. And of course, today, if you don't know how to type, you're basically incapable of communicating. I think going forward, as we move into a voice search era, if you will, which I tend to agree, not only with Gary, but with other people, that that's kind of the next phase. What's exciting for me is that I believe that we're where social was in 2004, 2005. Today in 2018, that's where we are with voice.
Yeah. And do you think it's going to be 10 years or could it be sooner? I mean, maybe it's 10 years from now.
No, I don't think it's going to be 10 years. I think at the 10-year point, right, and you followed, Jack, enough tech over the years to understand these arcs are getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So tech, right, so if you look, go back to television, for instance, until television was in 90% of homes, it took decades, right? Now we're down to 18 to 24 months. And then, of course, you've got the power, frankly, good, bad, or indifferent. You've got the power of a company like Amazon, who is basically driving forward with these voice-driven devices. And so your ability to simply tell Alexa, okay, this, you know, go find XYZ and order it for me and have it show up here in Florida, it can show up the next, you know, 2 hours later. That level of immediacy is exciting. And I think the other part of it, obviously, is to your point. No, I don't think, is it going to be 10? I think 10 years from now, everybody's using voice. But I think the kind of the early adopters, the early 20 to 30% of us who are actively looking at tech and looking at ways to, you know, kind of use technology actively in our lives, I wouldn't be surprised if the next 2 to 2.5 years are really the pivot point.
Yeah. Where are we at now? I see a lot of varying statistics on how many people are using voice search. And you do a lot of search engine marketing. Are you seeing an impact now on the typical old, you know, the quote unquote old fashioned Google SERP?
Yeah, it's, I don't think we're there yet. I think actually by the end of the year, we probably are starting to see it. What we're starting to see is the early phase of it, right? Which is more and more search is mobile. I was going to say the vast majority, I don't think it's probably the vast majority, but I would argue 75 to 85% of search now. If you're not operating on a mobile device, if you're in my world, you're doing your client a disservice by not running on mobile. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginning of it, right? I think what people are seeing now is most of us just simply use a telephone. Rarely do I dial a number,
right?
The only reason I dial a number is if that person is not in my contact list. If somebody's in my contact list, by gosh, by golly, I'm saying call so-and-so, because today that's all done hands-free. So that, I think, is the beginning of it. And then what we'll start to see over the now course of the next 12 to 18 months, whether it's skills on Alexa or actual physical, you know, let's alter the way we're searching for things, that I think is kind of the next phase of this. And that's incredibly exciting, I think, in terms of kind of what the next phase of this is going to bring.
And I think the only thing that we can guarantee is that something else will come along to just totally turn this whole thing upside down, right? Right. I mean, maybe it's a couple of the big players get together. I was joking a couple of weeks ago about, you know, in 5 years we'll be talking to Siri, Alexa, right? Or somebody else could come into the space and just blow everybody out of the water with something new. So I think without some disruption happening, I think you're spot on with where this is going, but we know that there will be disruption. That's kind of a cool thing, right? You know, you know that something's going to come in and upset everybody. So it's just seeing what that upset is. Voice is just so on the frontier still to me, right? Like I'm not a big user of voice search myself. I'm still kind of waiting to see where it's all going for a lot of the work I do. But video, on the other hand, I think we're there, man, right? Like, it's just, I can't imagine what Facebook even looked like 2 years ago with all of that text, right? And no videos when you're scrolling through your newsfeed. How boring was that? I mean, why was anyone even on Facebook 2 years ago? That's terrible. So, you know, what I see with Facebook is that it's all on as far as video now, right? I mean, Facebook is looking at moving into all new spaces, even besides what we're seeing on Facebook now. I think things like Facebook Watch, are you using Facebook Watch yourself very much?
I am not, but what I was going to say is that I think, to your point, okay, the other part of this is that those of us who are quote unquote oversharers, right, or people who have a tendency to post more than we probably should, Facebook stories and Instagram stories have been a godsend because it allows people to say, look, if you really want to follow the day-to-day grind of my life, here's a way for you to do that, right? And so what I'm finding, and I know a lot of other people, you know, that I'm talking to are practitioners who are saying, look, pictures are fine. I'm getting people. You can tag people. You can use hashtags, et cetera. But when you run a video or you run a series of videos, what ends up happening is your engagement just skyrockets.
Yeah.
Because to your point, right? People look at, we still are visual creatures, right? For all intents and purposes, and moving pictures are even more important. And so I think that part of it, and you know, this is kind of the practical part of the conversation. Anybody who has a business who's on Instagram and is simply just posting, you know, kind of run of the mill stuff in the hopes that they're going to get attention. If you're not actively using Instagram stories or actively using the video functionality that's built into that, you're only using 20 or 25% of the power of that platform.
Yeah. And I can't imagine that, that you have a lot of followers, especially if you're a small business. I mean, how many followers do you have that are going to stop and actually watch something in their Instagram feed from your small business? But if you have something in the stories section, you stumble across it by accident because you're going from one friend to another, and hey, look, there's my small business story right in between them. So you're going to get eyeballs. So stories are really interesting. I mentioned watch. I think that's sort of the next thing over at Facebook. This is where they're really looking to, you know, jump into the fray with Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and all of that stuff. I don't know that it's going to be Netflix a year or two from now, but Facebook has a habit of taking somebody else's game and making it their own. So I think that's one to keep an eye on as well. As far as making videos, what are you seeing that people are doing well? And let's stick with Facebook for a second. What are people doing well and what are people doing not so well when it comes to video for their business?
So I think there's really two answers to the question. I think on the well side is be consistent, right? The people who are doing a great job, even if they have a relatively modest following, if you've got 30 or 40 people who are watching a video that you're doing, let's use Facebook Live as an example. If you're doing that and you're doing it consistently and you're consistently putting out content, that's a great day for you, right? Because you may only have 6 or 7 or 8 people who actively engage and who comment. But if you've got 30 people who are willing to take part of their day out, right, and watch your content, that's huge. So I think that's a good. Another good is relatively short form. Right.
Yes,
the same thing. We actually practice that here on our podcast, right? Is that we're not having an hour and a half long conversation. We're having a conversation. We may save part of the conversation for another day, but at the same time, I'm not asking somebody to commit an hour to watch my content. So I think there are certain people who can get away with it. Grant Cardone is a good example in Miami. I mean, Grant is amazing and he's got a huge team and he's basically built the equivalent of a television operation in Miami. He's a fantastic practitioner, but he also has grown his following over the last decade or so. And his folks like me who consume his content know that that's what you're going to get.
I think length comes down to quality, just like you said with Grant. You know, I look at all of this as sort of relative to the movies. Francis Ford Coppola can make a 3.5 hour long movie and I will watch it. Your typical sitcom coming from any of the networks or anything on Netflix, if it's more than 30 minutes, I'm never, ever, ever going to watch it. So, you know, I think you can't assume that you are Francis Ford Coppola on day one. So keep it short. I think a minute for a Facebook video is plenty long. On Instagram, a minute is an eternity. So keep it to 30 seconds. Keep it to 20 seconds if you can. I think part of the art of communicating in this media is you've got to take a complex idea, and because every business owner will talk about, well, we can't just do a minute long video. Our business is much more complex than that. And, how long do you have to, so I can explain our business? And it's like, no, you've got to explain your business and why someone should engage with you in 30 seconds. 10 seconds is even better, and if you can't explain your business in a very short amount of time, or engage with someone in a few sentences, then you really don't know your material too well, right? I mean, I like this idea of, we're seeing some Facebook ads being experimented with now that are 5 seconds long. Imagine that, a 5 second ad, and somebody's going to pay for that. And some people are saying, wow, it's way too short. There's no way. And I think, anything longer than 7 seconds, you probably lost my attention already. So I want to see where these 5 second ads go. I think that could be very cool.
Yeah. And I think the other part of it that's exciting, right, is that we're moving away from, you have to have a 30 second commercial on television. You have to have this kind of media. You have to have this kind of setup. And I think what's always drawn me to tech, but secondarily to advertising and technology in that intersection, is that this is a place where people are continuously experimenting. And I think that's where, you can't, the fact of the remains, it, you're not in a boardroom where somebody goes, okay, we're going to put this up on the screen and decide. You put your content out there and the market tells you, to your point about the 5 second ads, right? We're going to know relatively quickly, okay, is this something that's actually going to work?
Yeah.
Or is this something that's not going to work? And I think the part that I love, right, about this medium and about this space in general is the market, and I know it irritates people, but the market is an unforgiving creature. You either are or you are not, right? And if you are not, then you have the opportunity. Do you go back to the drawing board and try to redo this? Or do you say, this is just not working out for us? And I think that's where, again, I'm a big fan of, if you've got something to say, put it out there, right? Get the content built, be consistent, put it out there, because, eventually you're going to run into, if you do it for a long enough time and you commit to it, you talked a few minutes ago about, well, I have to explain this. My business requires so much of an explanation. Well, there's a person I respect a great deal who but he likes to say, right? If you're explaining, you're losing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
If you're having to explain what it is you do and it takes a 10-minute conversation to explain, regardless of what it is, whether it's a business or whether it's some sort of investment opportunity, whatever it is, if you're explaining, you're losing. And I have a tendency to think that applies, obviously applies to our content development as well.
Absolutely. Jim, we've got to leave it there. We're just about out of time. One quick note. Next week, if any of our listeners are attending the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference, it's happening next week, June 18th through the 21st in Atlanta at the Intercontinental in Buckhead. I'm going to be having a panel there, and I'd love to invite you to come sit in. It's called Building Your Marketing Budget to Meet Consumers' Changing Consumption. And my panelists will include Terry Snyder, CMO of Checkers and Rally. She was on the show last week. And also William Rodriguez, CEO of Silvercrest Advertising. That will be on Wednesday, June 20th. You can register now at the franchiseconsumermarketing.com website. Again, franchiseconsumermarketing.com. Jim Buckley from Valpak, thank you so much for joining Social Geek Radio again today, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Jack.
All right, we will talk to you very soon, and we will talk more voice and more video in an upcoming episode of Social Geek Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.